We're starting a new section or new series as we're working through that and understanding how God wants to work in each of our lives. The scripture for this one is from 1 Corinthians, so let's read it together. Who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? 1 Corinthians 2:16. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. I want to first say thanks to the team and for the work that was done the last 2 weeks. My family had a great opportunity to vacation and get away, and so we're very grateful for that. But I think this is still vacation when you watch online the service. I think it is. But anyway, we watched Pastor Brandon as he shared and did a powerful job in his message. And then Pastor Eddie, the last week, as he shared his and did an incredible job. He's quite the storyteller. And if you didn't hear it about how he was kidnapped, that was like, wow, that was really pretty amazing. And I even listened to it because I thought, wait a minute, he kind of stopped talking about that. And I thought, well, what happened? And I was like, he dropped that ball and I was waiting, but then he had it planned. He picked it up later and then kind of finished. And I think he even told more second service than he did first as to some of the details. So it was quite excellent. I'm really grateful for such an excellent team that's really so on target. They are just, we're blessed. We're blessed. And Pastor Eddie, that's his first time speaking, and it's just cool to see God working through his life, and he's just really a blessing to us, and so we're very grateful for that. As we're talking today, we're going to be talking about knowing God's will, and the fact is that we can know God's will for our lives. Now, I want to ask you, and this probably reveals my age a little bit, it doesn't matter. But how many of you remember that like kind of black ball, a black eight ball, that you would turn over, ask a question, and then turn it over and then see something there? Like, yeah? Okay, good. Some of you are way younger than me, so that's awesome. So anyway, I can remember, you know, like you would ask like who am I gonna marry? And you'd turn it over and it'd go, the person next to you. What? You know, it was just like crazy things that you would ask questions. And sometimes it made no sense at all. And so you would go like this and you'd go, okay, let me ask that again. Okay, try one more. But you would kind of do that to kind of find out like what this kind of mystical will for the future was so you could understand it. Sometimes believers are just like that about God's will. They're kind of like, you know, where am I supposed to go or what am I supposed to do? Sometimes it's like opening the Bible like this, you know, and like, and sometimes it's just kind of, and then they go, let's try that again. Maybe one more time. Because whatever it is that they're getting, they're not so excited about it. It doesn't feel like, I don't think that's what I want to do. I don't think that's the kind of thing that really I want to see. I think I want to see something else. And so they kind of are looking at God's will from the perspective of, I'm curious what it is. I'm not sure I'm willing to follow it. I just want to kind of see. Well, let me tell you, there are a number of things we're going to talk about in this time that we have about what God's will is and how he wants to work that for us and what he wants to do and accomplish. But first of all, we have to know that you can know God's will. Scripture says it this way, and this is a passage that you've heard, actually Pastor Brandon talked about, and I've used it multiple times as we talk about Romans 12, 1 and 2, and what that looks like and what that means. But he says it this way, Paul says it as he's writing, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, talking to believers, when he says brothers and sisters, it's not to those who are unfamiliar with the word. He's talking about to Christians. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so as we see that, first of all, we see the therefore. You know, we've always talked about what is the therefore. Yes, what is the therefore? And so that immediately has to pull you back to be able to look at what's preceding this. So let me share with you the preceding verse from Romans 11 and starting at verse 33. It says, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. Okay, so you're kind of following it because he's saying you can know God's will. Backing up, he's saying, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. Okay, it's infinite. Then he says, how impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. Not according to my natural mind. I wouldn't think this. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? And who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay back? And for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. So in view of all of that, then we offer ourselves to him. Now, I like to look in different translations and the Message from time to time, because I think there's like some, it kind of jolts your thinking a little bit to rethink this a little bit more, because sometimes we get conditioned to hearing the same things over and over in the same way, and then our mind doesn't pick it up as quickly. So let me read the Message to you. It's not a translation, but it's a Message, but I think it has some great thoughts. Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? This deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Now, we think we are sometimes, right? Because we think he doesn't tell us what we want. So let us direct him to do what we want. Is there anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Now that yes is translated, that's the amen. So when you say amen, you're saying yes. And so that's what he says there. Yes, yes, yes. Then he goes on, and here's the message in Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So, understanding all of that, we know that first of all, you can know God's will, but to know it, you must first surrender. The songs and the worship this morning were incredible to help communicate that. The fact is, I need to put all of me in God's hands. And that's when I can begin to know God's will. So you can't hold on to anything yourself and think you're going to know God's will, because it's not going to happen that way. We have to say, here it is, Lord. Who am I to give you advice? Who am I to try to direct my life? But you can. So I trust you with it, and I surrender it to you. And that's why he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. You can know God's will, but to know it, you can't conform to the world's standard. That means you have to follow God's standard. Now, what comes naturally to your minds is the world's standard, because that's the natural thought process. It's the natural. But we live in the supernatural. And so what we need to do is not take what first comes to our mind, but what the Spirit can give to us. Because remember, the verse that we talked about, we can have the mind of Christ. And so how do we have that? I'll be talking about that a little bit later. But the fact is that I can't conform to the world's standard to discover this. I have to be in the Spirit and understand what the Spirit and what God's standard is. You know, it's really sad because I hear so many things. People think they can follow the world's standard and still know the will of God. You can't. You cannot, because you won't find that. And so there are times when the world's standard is very different than God's standard. And so as we try to look at that, we have to understand. Many times, I tell you a particular situation. I remember a young man as he was coming out of high school. He was feeling a call to ministry. As a result, he was feeling the call to ministry. He told his parents. His parents are Christians, understand? They're Christians. He tells them he feels this call to ministry. They say to him, "You won't make very much money in ministry. You might want to rethink this because you probably couldn't even pay off your college loans. So I think you ought to rethink this before you do." He decides to go by the world's standard, which is you need to make enough money, rather than God's, and he never pursues that. In fact, right now, that young man is far from God. I think Christian parents advising their child not to go into ministry because by the world's standard, he wouldn't make enough. I want to tell you, we have to be cautious about our guidance for those that would follow God's standard. We don't know where that's going to take us, and you can't add it all up on paper when you try to figure it out. I can only tell you that when, like, for example, when Sharon and I decided to start Meadowbrook, and that was on my heart and kind of did, I was going to go from a fourth of the salary that I made before to start Meadowbrook. Now, don't ask me how, but Sharon and I, like, I was not able to really save at that four times the amount, but somehow, at a fourth of the amount, we bought a house, and God took care of us. I can't explain it on paper. I can't explain why it happened. I only know we chose God's standard rather than the world's standard, and God rewarded and was faithful to it. I can tell you there are many times if we're not cautious, we start pursuing what the world would say rather than what God's word would say. I can tell you there are sometimes people would say, "This person makes me really happy and I want to marry them." They're not a believer, you are, but they make you happy. So why can't this be exactly what I want? I'm going to tell you, that's not God's standard. That's the world's standard, what makes me happy. And so what happens, I've heard time and time again, there's nothing worse than being alone as a single than being alone as a married person, because you don't share that whole spiritual component. And what appears to make you happy in that dating process somehow is lost in the marriage. I want to tell you why. Because you've followed the world's standard rather than God's standard. And you've got to know, if you're going to know the will of God and experience it in your life, you can't follow the world standard. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. You can know God's will, but to know it, you must be transformed in your heart and mind. That means I'm going to have to change the way I think. I can't think the same. You see, when I think how God should work out my life, how he should answer prayer, how things should go rather than how I'm trusting him, that's when I'm going by my old life rather than a transformed life. And that's why he says, I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by changing the way I think, by keep changing, by keep doing. I'm going to have to do that for me to experience the will of God in my life. You can know God's will, but to know it, you must be able to discern what it is. Discern. That's kind of knowing the difference between right and wrong. That's discern. That's understanding what God's will is. Here it is. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now think about this. The word tells us that we can test and approve God's will. Because there's all these voices that come into your head when you're trying to make decisions. You're trying to figure out, what is this what I'm supposed to do, or is this what I'm supposed to do? And let me tell you this, for the most part, God is not going to drop a sheet in your bedroom to tell you which way to go. He's not going to speak in a loud voice to tell you. He's not going to give you that kind of direction. That's not going to happen. I know that for the most part, now I'm not saying that there's never supernatural interruption to normal life that God says, this is what I want you to do. But for the most part, he's going to guide you by his spirit in you and confirm that by the spirit of those believers around you as to that direction. And that's for the most part. Now, why? Because he's given you the ability to have the mind of Christ. And if he's given you the ability to have the mind of Christ, then he can help you to know how you can test and approve what God's will is, because it's working in you. Now, please do not discount the fact that there are times that we kind of go to God's word to say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, is there some way you can give me some direction by your word? And there are times it's just absolutely clear that he can direct that way. Yes, I totally believe that. I have had that multiple times in my world. But there are other times when you don't get answers that way. And what do you need to do when that doesn't happen? You have to trust the mind of Christ in you and the mind of Christ in those followers that are around you. That's where we go. So he says this in Hebrews, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. This also, to recognize the difference, this is discerning. That's also what that is, to discern the difference between right and wrong. And so that's exactly what he wants you to do. So you to discern the will of God, then it takes maturity. It takes learning. It takes growing. That's why you should surround yourself with some mature believers who can speak into your life when you're also trying to make those decisions. God's will is shown in his word. Now, there are some things that are absolutely clear about God's word. You don't even have to question. You can just look at God's word and it says it there. There are many a part of our lives we don't have that clarity, and we have to try to have the mind of Christ to understand it. Billy Graham says it this way, if you are ignorant of God's word, you'll always be ignorant of God's will. If you're ignorant of God's word, you're going to always be ignorant of God's will. Because that's why you hear me say over and over, you need to be in God's word every day. You need to make it a part of changing how you think. That's why I load up scripture in my messages, because I want you to be as familiar with Scripture as I am, to be able to hear it over and over and to let it be your guide. God has a plan for his will to be seen in us. First, we know that. God has a plan. No matter what's coming to your life, even if it doesn't feel like it seems it's out of control, it's not out of God's control. It's out of your control. And then maybe that's good, but it's not out of God's control. He's in control. And that's what you need to know. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's working. Does it kind of feel like, I don't know what it is? Yeah, but God's got a plan. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So even before you were born, God had a plan for your life. And he has a plan that he wants to work out. And so what do? You need to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. That's the surrender part. I'm going to rest in you because you know what's best for my life. You know what is absolutely going to draw me near to you. I trust you. God's will is that you would be a grateful follower. Now, that's an interesting thing, but it's definitely in Scripture because it says, be thankful in... Oh, let's try that again. Be thankful in... You said all, didn't you? Wow, that's a sermon right there. We could just stop right there, right? Okay, let's work on that one for the next 6 months. In all circumstances, for what is it? This is God's will. So it's always God's will for us to be thankful, even when it doesn't feel great. Even when I don't feel thankful, I will be thankful. That's God's will for you. Now, you got to understand, if you're not willing to follow God's will, he's not going to give you any more information. You've just shut down the whole thing. If you're not willing to say yes, this is the interesting thing. God's going to give you step by step. He never shows us the end. He just gives us the next step. And you only get the next step if you're obedient to this step. So if you're not willing to be obedient to this step, you're not getting the next one because it's not coming. You need to make sure step by step you're willing. And one of those steps is being thankful. In spite of the fact that you may not be happy about what God is doing, you still be thankful because that is God's will for us. God's will is for your life to be honorable. That means I have to make choices that are going to be honoring God. Nothing else, not me, no other direction. He says it's God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. So your life should live above those who would bring criticism. You just have to live above it. Because sometimes we're doing our best and people criticize. We're doing what we think is God's will and people are bringing accusation against us. Just do your best. Just continue to live it out. Because God will work through that. God's will is for all to be saved. This is a great promise because I'm sure all of us have somebody in our life we're praying for to come to know Christ. And it's always God's will for them to be saved. Always. You don't have to say, if it's your will, Lord, you don't even have to, don't even go there. He already told us it was. He tells us, everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That's God's will. And the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So we can claim those as promises. Lord, I am praying and believing because it's always your will for those to be saved. Obedience to God will give eternal life. And that's what I'm saying. For you to know God's will for your life, you have to be obedient to what you presently have. So the way he's spoken, what he's offered, if you're not willing to be obedient right now in this area, then he won't give you his will. Because his will is contingent upon your next level of obedience. And so you have to say, okay, I am willing to do that. I am willing to follow. I am willing to do that in my life. I want his will. Because his will is perfect, it's good, and it's pleasing. His will is perfect, good, and pleasing. That's a whole lot of good stuff coming your way if you're willing to be obedient at the next level. But if you're not, you're not going to discover that. Time and again, Scripture continues to verify the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God does the will of God. That means yes, yes to this, yes to that next step. Yes, I'm willing to do that. Yes, I'm surrendered. Yes, I'm yours. We can't continue to live in a life of sin and expect to know God's will. You can't continue to live in a life of sin and expect to know God's will. Do I say that you're not ever going to sin? I didn't say that. I said continue to live. That means taking conscious choices to continue to live in a sinful state. You can't know God's will if that's the case. Now, that's an important step that each of us has to make. So we have to say, I want God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then that means I'm going to have to stop sinning in some particular thing that I've continued to do, or I'm going to have to make sure I'm not going to know his next step for my life. And that's not something that we should ever really play with. Serious consequence. Scripture says it this way, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm-mm. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So doing the will. James tells us again, it's not just hearing it, it's doing it. And so that's what we have to make sure is happening in our lives. So I'm putting it into practice. I'm doing my best. Do I fail sometimes? Absolutely. Do I stumble? Absolutely. But am I determined to be faithful? Am I going to confess that? Am I willing to keep jumping back on track to say, God, I need your help? Yes. And that is where we need to be. Don't give up in following God's will. No, make sure that you're willing to do that. Scripture said it this way, patient endurance is what you need now. Patient endurance. Does it seem like I'm trusting God for his will, but nothing's happening? Yeah. I'm trusting for God's will, but I don't see the answers. I don't see it coming. It's not fitting together like I think it should. I'm trusting God for his will, but no. Patient endurance is what you need so that you will continue to do God's will. Do what you have at the moment that you have it. That's what you have to do, because then you will receive all that he has promised. So be patient. Trust God. He knows better. Who can give him advice? He wants to give us what he has. Sometimes God will bring suffering, and sometimes his will in our lives, it doesn't always mean it's always going to be fun. There's sometimes it's not fun, because it's better for, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So he rewards that. There are those who are suffering all over the world right now for doing good. But God is with them. I can't even begin. He gives you the grace that you need when you face it. Wherever God's will is going to take you, his grace is going to be sufficient. I can promise you. God's will is known when you have the mind of Christ. So let's think about that. How do we have the mind of Christ? No one can know, Corinthians, Paul says this, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. So when you invite Jesus into your heart, you have his spirit in you. Now you have the capability of knowing God's thoughts because you have God's spirit in you. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual, okay, can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. So spiritual means you're following God's Spirit. So if you're not following God's Spirit, then you can't know his truths. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. So, having the mind of Christ is learning to be like him. So, what I do is I am constantly learning. I mean, how many of you would say, the person I am now is nothing like the person I was when I first came to Christ? Yeah, why? Because what has happened in your life, you've been learning to be like him. It didn't happen overnight, but it was a process. So you were developing the mind of Christ. And that's what guides you to make decisions. It's what guides you to help you understand, what am I supposed to do and where am I supposed to go? Scripture says it this way, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. So that's going to be a constant process of becoming like him. Having the mind of Christ comes by his Spirit in you because he's given. You can understand spiritual things because his Spirit lives in you. And it just is going to be so clear because of that. Scripture says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So the more and more the mind of Christ is in you, the more you understand all his truths. Having the mind of Christ may be contrary to the world's thinking. Talked about that earlier. The fact is, it's going to go contrary to what the world would say. You're bombarded by the world, media, television, all the kinds of things influencing you on a regular lifestyles of those around you, constantly living, coming in here. And the fact is, you know, if you watch just what the world, you know, as a young person, you would think it's necessary for you to live together before you're married so you can be able to know if this is the right person. That's totally the world's thinking. That is not God's way at all. In fact, that's going to lead you into disobedience because God's word would say, no, absolutely not. You don't live together before you're married. You don't have sex before you're married. No, that's not part of it. No, that's the world's thinking. They think, oh, you need to try on a shoe before you buy it, or otherwise you won't know if it's a good fit. And I hear people say that, and I think, that's not what God's word said. God's word is contrary to that. If you're going to follow that, you're going to live in disobedience. You're not going to know the will of God. You can't figure it out. And so then you're going to make poor decisions, and you'll make a poor decision for life. And then what happens? No, you need to make sure that you're going to honor God by your choices, your lives, and what your decisions are, so you make right ones that are pleasing to God. And that's the difference that's going to happen to make sure if you can have the mind of Christ, it's going to have to be through obedience. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. And they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Having the mind of Christ is possible. You can know God's will. You can know. You don't have to guess at what it might be to figure out what God is trying to direct in your life. No, he says, we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. You can know. So let's think about it. God's will is known when you are willing to follow the will of God. If you're willing to take that next step, he's going to give you the next clarity on his will. But we have to continue through that. Our difficulty, Henry Blackaby says, is not that we don't know God's will. Our discomfort comes from the fact that we do know his will, but we do not want to do it. So some people are like this with God's will. Nope, I don't want to do that. Nope, I don't want to do that. And they're not willing to follow where God's leading. If that's the case, I give you no guarantees for good, pleasing, and perfect. because it can't happen that way. We know God's word. We must know God's word to know his will. That means daily, put yourself in God's word, read it, understand, search it out, continue to put it as a part of your life. Knowing God's word will help us. What is God's word? It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Yeah, it tells you something about yourself that you may not even be aware of because you see God's word before you. We must apply the word of God to our lives. So you hear it and you apply it. Do something about it. You've heard the word today. Are you putting it into practice? Are you willing to do that, to take that next step, to be able to see? We have to apply the word of God to our lives if we're going to know more of it. That's why he says, transform by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test, approve what God's will is. So I'm saying, yes, it may not make sense in the world standard, but it does in God's, because his word is confirming that. We must live out the word of God to find the will of God. They tell us 90% of your actions is spillover from your mind. What that means is more of your reactions dictate your life than your actions, because so much is happening. And so what spills out is what's in your mind. Do you ever like say, I can't believe as a Christian they would respond that way, or they would act that way, or they would treat others that way? How could a Christian do that? Well, what's in their mind? What's in their mind? Because that's what's going to dictate what your actions are. And so you got to start changing the way you think to make sure your actions are only a result of what's happening in your thoughts. And so for you to change your actions, you can try to pull your actions under control. That's hard. But if you change the way you think, it'll change the way you act. That's going to be the difference. We know that God's word has saturated our lives when it has overflown into our actions. So when it changes the way we act, that means we've changed the way we think by God's word, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God will equip you with all you need to fulfill his will. You may say, oh, I don't think I can do this. I know that's what it's saying, but I don't know if I can do that. Oh, really? Because here's what he says. He'll equip you with all you need for doing his will. So if he's called you to do it, he'll give you grace to fulfill it. If he's called you to do it, he'll give you the grace to fulfill it. That's how God works in each of our lives. I want to do something that we do often. If you'd put your hands out in front of you like this, and just think about the fact that that's God's will that's in your hands. I want to pray for you in closing. And as I do, and as you surrender, I want you to turn your hands over and just let go to make sure you're saying, yes, Lord, I'll do your will. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that is here, each one that is hearing your word, whether in the house or online, that they are at this point saying, here's your will, Lord. I want to do it. There's some difficulties to following it, but I'm willing to surrender to you to follow it. I'm turning my hands over and releasing that into your hands. Lord, you've said that you would equip me with everything that I need to do your will. And so I'm trusting you for it right now. Father, I want to know your will. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to live in a way that pleases you so I can know your good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to continue to minister to you and see God working. We trust that God will use this in a powerful way. Thank you.
Hey, it is great to be with you, Church Online, as we are talking about God's will and knowing God's will. Pastor Eddie, it's great to have you here.
It's good to be here.
And we just want to take a moment to recap the sermon and share a takeaway as well as a discussion point and some really exciting things that we want to invite everyone to be a part of coming up at the end of August. Pastor Eddie, what was a takeaway from this weekend's message on God's will?
Yeah, you know, I think when people are talking to me about God's will and knowing God's will, one of the most important things that is the clear defining moment, if you will, is if it matches up or if it aligns with God's word. I mean, that's so clear, that's so easy, and such a simple takeaway for people to make that distinction.
Yeah, and one thing that sticks out, you know, in thinking about this, and we got to talk a little bit with Pastor Arley, is that God's will is confirmed by multiple sources. So, meaning that we need to examine and allow God to examine our lives and how we're living, because we need to be in alignment with his word, like you were saying, as well as, you know, how does that play out into our friendships and our workplaces and our speech and our profiles on social media. And so are we seeking to live in accordance with his will, and is he confirming his will? Because he's consistent and he won't change, and he wants us to be responding with that spirit of power, love, and self-discipline that he's given us. And so for wherever you're watching this weekend, we want to invite you to discuss maybe how has God spoken to you through his word or given you affirmation of his will in your life, and maybe where are some areas that you're seeking his will right now? Just really talk through this, and God's will is clear, and he wants to direct our lives. And I think it's the starting point of believing that. Like,
that's right.
So often, like, we can get distracted and be like, you know, like, or discouraged, like, well, can I really know God's will? And the resounding answer is yes, you can know God's will. We want to tell you about some super exciting things coming up at the end of August. Pastor Eddie, can you give us a little glimpse into what's happening and coming up?
Yes, absolutely. It is the Fire and Water Weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. August 29th, right?
Yep. August 29th is the family bonfire. So if you have a child that's in children or student ministry, we want to set up an event for your whole family. And so we're going to have multiple areas of ministries that are represented, youth ministry, children's ministry, marriage ministry. It's going to be an awesome time together where we're able to cast vision, to celebrate together, and have a great time.
And what's the start time on that?
Yeah, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay, great. And so if that's you, we would love for you to be there. Is there a sign up required?
Yes, we're going to be sending out signups through email just so that we can get a better grasp on who is going to be attending, how many people, because we're going to provide food and activities and all those kind of things.
Okay, so be looking for that email, and even if you want to let us know ahead of time, you can send an email ahead of time. And then, so that's the fire part. What about the water?
Yeah, water. August 30th, so the next day, right after the second service, we're having a baptismal service outside. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, and so that's going to be here at our Milton campus at the outdoor platform, and we're taking signups right now.
That's right.
And so if you're interested in taking that step of obedience and faith to by baptism, we would encourage you to either hop on the church website, and you can fill out a form, cwc.life/baptism, or you can just grab your phone right now as you're watching this. If you would like to be baptized, you can let us know by texting baptize, B-A-P-T-I-Z-E, to 88202. That's baptize to 88202. We would love to add you to the list for your declaration of God's work in your life through the power of Christ and the love that he's shown through us, for us on the cross. Fire and Water Weekend, don't miss it. It's coming up. It's good to be with you. Discuss God's will and how you can continue to live in it. Good to be with you. See ya.
See you next time.